اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، خالق العظيم، أهل البيت الطيبين الطاهرين الأكرمين المظلومين المعصومين الشرفاء محمد صلى الله عليه محمد. It's a short poem dedicated to the sacrifice of Ali Asghar. May peace be upon Abu Abdullah, the infant who was slain by an arrow, drenched in blood, and whose blood ascended to the heavens. May Allah curse the killer. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Holding a baby was he in arms, of water deprived against humane norms. Like fading stars his eyes did show, his wavy hair by the wind did blow. The baby hovered between life and death, breathing was he with erratic breath. Hussein did gently hold his hand, this tender touch was a magic wand. A smile flickered at the baby's face, appeared a sweetness, lovely grace, an innocent gesture to quietly tell, worry not, father, all is well. A died down candle just flickered, briefly a sinking ship just anchored. True love played its mystic part, a conscious heart, now a conscious heart. Hussein covered the baby with care, with fingers combed his wavy hair. A baby subjected to pangs of thirst by the despicable Khalif's heartless worst. His drought was slacked by the wild mobs, and archer's arrow did his job. Appalled was nature, did providence weep. The baby in father's arm did sleep. With his firm, unshaking hand, the father dug the glowing sand. An emotion's tempest through did blow, no solitary tear his grief did show. His visage reflected a dissolute grace. A muffled anguish engulfed his face. The baby he put in his gloomy grave. This charming gift to Islam he gave. Muhammad, Salawat ala Muhammad.
Once again, thank you to Brother Rizza for beautiful recitations. And we do like to say that it's a pleasure to see so many brothers participating, ancestors participating in the Aza of Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam Allah. So if anybody has anything, if they want to recite a noha or anything, please don't be shy to approach us, because we do want to see the talent amongst the young Shia community. Without further ado, we will begin our ninth lecture. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala أشرف المرسلين وخير الخلق أجمعين يا أبي القاسم محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today we will begin our talk on Imam Hussein عليه السلام الله, the savior of Islam. The title of today's lecture is New Standards, Same Religion. The reason why I chose this title is many people think that Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah, whenever somebody comes and debates with the Shia, they would always come forward and put this idea that why did Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah go to Karbala? One of the most profound things that we hear is that Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah was trying to establish a new Islam. No, far be it from that. What we say, the school of Ahlul Bayt, is that Aba Abdullah Hussein alayhi salamullah was going to make a reform in the religion of his father, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Part of this reform was what? Is that he was constantly reminding people of that which came before them. Now, he was saying to them, I am the son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am the son of Fatima al-Zahra. I am the son of Ali al-Murtada. I am the one who Rasulullah said this and that and the other about me. What does this say to us? When you remind somebody of something which came before them or before you, it doesn't mean you're introducing something new. No, it means you're trying to take somebody back to what they forgot. So Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah, when he's constantly reminding the people, he's not saying, I am here to start a new religion. No, he's saying, remember what Rasulullah introduced. Because what you have now is totally different to what he had. So go back in the time. Go back down memory lane and see what Rasulullah said about Al-Atr al-Tahira. Ahlul Bayt alayhim salamullah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala. One of the reminders was what? Was Abu Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salamullah. When on the 9th of Muharram, the army began to slowly march towards the camp of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salamullah. Here Sukayna alayhi salamullah runs to Abu Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salamullah. Why? She's afraid. She's only at the age of 4. And she feels the ground beneath her feet shaking because there's 40,000 who are marching towards them. So she runs to Abu Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salamullah and she says, Uncle Abbas, do something. So Abu Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salamullah, under the command of Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah, with a band of 20 of the companions and the family of Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah, goes forward towards this army which is marching. So he says to them, why do you hasten? Take time to consider. So he says to them, let me go speak to Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah. And then I will come back and I will tell you what my Mawla has said. Because when he asked them, he said, why do you hasten towards us? What was their response? Their response was what? I'll read to you. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Abu Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salamullah, he says, why have you surrounded us? What crime has Hussein alayhi salamullah committed? So the response comes what? They say, our chief, Ibn Ziyad, meaning what? They're not following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his orders. Rather, they are following those who are in power. So they say, our chief, Ibn Ziyad, has ordered that we should either make Hussein accept Yazid as the leader of Muslims and pay allegiance to him, or kill him along with those who support him. The point here is what? Is that Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah is still following the Sunnah Nabawiyyah. He is still under the guide of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas these individuals are under the guide of Yazid ibn Muawiyah and his likes. So they are the ones who are introducing a new religion. They are the ones who are ruling an empire, and I say empire because now the Islam that is under them is the Islam of kings and tyrants. It's not the Islam which bespoke of humbleness. No, it's rather the Islam which came about being having a castle and a throne and numerous palaces and women dancing around and being drunk and being like the Romans and the Greeks that came before. It's the Islam of the Persian Empire. It's the Islam of the Roman Empire. It's the Islam of anything but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Where is Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salamullah? It's still under the divine guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now Abu Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salamullah, and this shows what? When Abu Fadl al-Abbas says, I will not give you a response until I speak with my Imam, Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah. It means that nobody, not only Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah, was acting under divine will. It means not a single individual in the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah was acting out of their own desires. Why? When Abu Fadl al-Abbas says, I will ask my Imam, means what? I will not take any decision until I have taken orders from the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed as my leader in the dunya and the akhirah. Because you have to remember one thing, Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah, before he was the brother of Abu Fadl al-Abbas, he was the imam of his time. So Abu Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salamullah goes back. Now when he returns, while he's gone, while Abu Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salamullah is gone, Habib ibn Mudahir alayhi radwanullah says what? He says, you are a wretched gathering who have assembled here to kill the only surviving son of Fatima al-Zahra and the grandson of the Messenger of Allah. When he is reminding them of the close relationship of Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah to Rasulullah, what is the point here? Some people say, well, hold on. Why is he reminding them that he's the son of Rasulullah? Because surely Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says on the day of judgment, don't come to me with your relationship. Come to me with your amal. When he's reminding them here, he's not trying to say that you're going to kill the son of Rasulullah. No, because the uncle of Rasulullah, Abu Lahab, was cursed in the Quran. So when here he's making a reference to Rasulullah, he's making reference to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Muawiyah, Abu Sufyan did not believe in the nubuwa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when here the companions are saying, you are fighting the grandson of the Messenger of Allah, they did not say Muhammad ibn Abdullah. They said no, the grandson of the Messenger of Allah, meaning that you are fighting the actual message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the reference here again is a reminder that we have come to go back to the old ways of Rasulullah, not to the new bid'ah that you have introduced, the new innovations which you have introduced into the Islam. So here the point is the reminder of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The new standards, but the same religion. By the way, when we say new standards, we don't mean these standards were not around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time. What we mean is that two things. Number one is that after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away and he went to his Lord, new things were introduced into Islam, that there were new standards now. So when Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah is introducing the religion, in a way, it's new to the people of his time, because a lot of them haven't met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the religion which they were following was the religion which was taught to them by the Umayyah. So this for them is a new standard. It's a new form of Islam. Number one. Number two, they were in historical discourse, we see things. For example, take Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salamullah. What does he say to the people? They asked him a few questions. So he says, the Comforter will come after me, and he will answer these questions for you. So the people said, why? He said, because if I was to answer them for you now, your mind will not comprehend them. Why? Because when he revealed to them a few of Allah's miracles, when Allah revealed his miracles through Isa ibn Maryam, what did they say? They said, you are God himself, or the Son of God, or the Holy Spirit. The point is what? Is that during the time of the Prophet Isa alayhi salam Allah, the people could not fully comprehend. Why? Because certain things did not happen. So the people were not ready. They were not on the same level of thinking as the prophets. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were also certain things, because don't forget, Rasulullah came to the most ignorant people of his time. Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah, sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He says what when he walks past the river? He says, in shit, if I wanted to, from this water I will make light. Today we have hydraulic power. If somebody came today and said we can make light out of water, we won't call him a god. What would we call him? We would call him a great scientist. Now we just call him a simple person who's gone onto Google and done his research. Whereas about 20 years ago, we would have called him a great scientist. In the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah, what does he say when they say to him, why won't you do it? He says, I fear one of two things. One is that either the people will worship this light thinking it's a form of God. Because in the Persians' time, they used to worship what? The fire. So he says, number one, either they will worship the light or they will worship me. Because imagine you're coming to people who are on camels and living in tents, and all they know is fighting amongst each other and looting. And then you bring to them somebody who makes light out of water. Ali ibn Abi Talib's knowledge exceeds our knowledge. We have to do hydraulic power and all sorts of things. We have a generator. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, Allah could have done it in 1,000 different ways. Any one of those ways would have led the people to call him Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point here is what? The thinking of the people hadn't advanced, and thus it was not ready to accept these things. The same thing could be said about Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Allah. When he was introducing things, he was not introducing new things to Islam. Rather, he was telling the people what Rasulullah had trusted him and his father and his brother and his mother Fatima Zahra alayhi salam, Allah sallu ala Muhammad wa alayhi salam. On another level, we can examine this. We have Brother Muhammad today who's asking me why, out of respect for Ahlul Bayt, Brother Muhammad has given up his time. He didn't go to work today out of respect for Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam Allah. Now, he asked me a question earlier on during the day. Why do we say Ali, Ali, Ali and not Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So out of this respect, I promised him that I will answer him today. The point here is what? Is that Rasulullah knew that the people around his time were not capable of comprehending things. And he knew that as a human being, because he was part divine and part human, as a human being, his time on planet Earth is restricted, so that he would leave us sooner or later on. Now he needed somebody who would carry the message, somebody who would have the knowledge that nobody else can handle. Why? So that when the people, as with time, remember yesterday we said Quran sets the discourse, it's always compelling you to move forward. So as time goes forward and as humanity advances as a whole, and as we begin to experience new things in our life and new sciences, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah is there to guide us on the Islamic path, so that we do not start to bring our own innovations and make new things about Islam. Rather, we are following the guidance of Rasulullah through Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah. One of the ahadith we have is that when the Imam al-Hujja alayhi salam Allah sallallahu alayhi Muhammad wa al-Muhammad, when he comes forward, inshallah it will be in our time, when he comes forward, he will bring about a Qur'an which is new to us. Now what does this mean? Some people say, oh, bid'ah, bid'ah, the Shias believe they have a different Qur'an to us. No, what is meant is that he will introduce to us knowledge from the Qur'an, that when we read the Qur'an, it will be as if it is the very first time we have ever come across it. Because science today has gone and advanced to new levels that people have begun through science to deny the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas our Mawla will show them through this very science and even a further advanced science and will prove to them the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, this is what we mean, new standards, is that our minds at the time, or the minds of the people during Rasulullah's time, were not ready for everything. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah was showing them that which he understood, and now it was time to reveal it to the people. One of those things he was showing them was what? Infinite mercy, which was not known in the times of the Arabs. In the time of the Arabs, when I show mercy to someone who I have subdued, somebody who is now under my control, when I show him mercy, that was seen as a sign of weakness. Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah was showing them that this is the sign of great personalities. One day, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah, during the time of his Khilafah, he was walking, and when he was walking, he went past and he saw some captives. Amongst these captives was Shimr ibn Dhul Jawshan alayhi la'natullah. He was a prisoner. So he calls out to Imam Ali. He says, oh Ali, you are the Khalifa, free me. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah did not turn towards him. Then he called out to Imam Hassan alayhi salam Allah. He said, oh Hassan, you are the son of the Khalifa. Intercede with your father to free me. So Imam Hassan alayhi salam Allah did not turn his way. Why? Because here it's not that they have something against anyone. No, here they wanted to show what Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah will do with the very same person who will sit on the holy chest and decapitate him. He turns to Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah and he says, oh Hussein, look at the sign. Look what Shimr says to Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah. You have a great status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So intercede for me. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah looks to his father Ali ibn Abi Talib and he says, Oh my father Ali, I ask you, you know my position with Allah, I ask you by that very same position to release this man. So through the shafa'ah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, he was released. Now what does this show to us, this new standard? This new standard is that when you have mercy, fi sabilillah, when you are merciful, your mercy knows no boundaries. Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah came forward and put this standard. The standard of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam Allah is that when he was on his way to Kufa and the army of Hur, the band that was with Hur alayhi radwanullah wa salamu, when they stopped Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam Allah, when they met Imam Hussein, they were without water for 3 days. Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, he knows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to him that soon you will be meeting these people. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, on the way, when they went past the last watering point, he told them, take more and more water. They said, why? We have enough water. He said, keep taking more water because now we're going to meet with a group of people who will be thirsty. So when they met these people, amongst them was one who was so thirsty that when he tried to drink the water, the water was just falling out from his hands. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, from his own hands, he quenched the thirst of this individual. Infinite mercy, but look at what this person did on the 10th of Muharram. He was calling out to Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, wallah, I will feed the dogs and the wild animals, but I will make sure that you will not drink water. The infinite mercy of Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam Allah. So this is one standard. Now another standard was what? We hear that on the 9th of Muharram, going back to the point of Abu Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam Allah going towards the people who are marching on the 9th of Muharram, they asked what? Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah says what? Now we have some people who say to us that Imam Hussein asked for one more night so that he can continue in prayers. First of all, let's examine this theory. Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam Allah, Rasulullah says Imam Hussein and Hassan alayhim salam Allah, they are imams, qama aw qa'da. So they are imams, should they stand or should they sit? Meaning, this one night of salah does not add or take away from the iman of Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah. Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah was raised in the house where Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Allah says, wallah, if Allah had revealed to me, if Allah has removed this veil which is on the eye of the human being, and I was to see the hereafter, heaven and hell, my iman will not raise or go down anything. Why? Because I believe in Allah as if though I see him. And if I don't see him, then I know that he surely sees me. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah's iman is on that level where he doesn't need anything else to raise his iman to the next level. He has reached the highest position. He is Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Now when we say Abu Abdullah, let's examine this. The children of Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, Ali al-Sajjad, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Ali al-Akbar, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Ali al-Asqar, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. All three of them are Ali. One of them, Ali al-Asqar, is also known as Abdullah al-Radi', the servant of Allah, the infant. In the Arabic language, or in the Arabic tradition, when we call you Abu, we mean the father of. And then we say the name of your first child, known as kunya. So now, if Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, when we call him Aba Abdullah, do we mean by his son, the youngest one, Abdullah al-Radi'? No. Because if we was calling him by his kunya, we would call him Abu Ali, the father of Ali. But when we say Aba Abdullah, we mean he is the father of everybody who has reached the position, the slave of Allah. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So somebody who has this position, that he is the father of all, when we say father, we mean he is in the position of authority of a father. That means he is the highest. Somebody with this position, does he need one more night to pray? No, he doesn't need one more night to pray. When he said one more night, he said for you, the enemies who have gathered around us, I ask you to take one more night of respite, one more night to contemplate. Do you really want to come forward and kill the only son of Fatima Zahra? Do you really want to condemn yourself to Jahannam? And we see what happened on this night. We see that a few from the band of Yazid alayhi lanatullah left this army and under the cover of darkness, either left totally and went away from Karbala, or they came towards the army of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the small band of 72. But we find not one single person abandoned Imam Hussein alayhi salam from these 72. Here the point is what? Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he saved at least one individual. We have riwayats which say, we have traditions which say 14 people. We have some theories which say that the number of 72 was not complete until this night, because about 30 or 40 people came to join Imam Hussein alayhi salam, boosting the number from 40 to 72. So here Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he didn't want this night for himself. No, he wanted the night so that these people can truly contemplate how hideous the crime that they are about to commit. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Because now let's hear what Abu Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam has to say to them. He says, now after he came back, after speaking to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he says, I once again, now he's speaking on the tongue of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, I once again remind you that you have gathered to kill the Prophet's grandson al-Hussein alayhi salam. With him is the progeny of Fatima and Ali and a few friends. You have prevented water from reaching Hussein's camp, so much so several infants are near death. What crime have they committed to be so tortured by your inhumane acts? What crime has Al-Hussein alayhi salam Allah done by which you could absolve yourself from his murder? In the past, people have killed prophets and pious people and deserved God's wrath. You are also doing the same now. Do not blame us that you are not warned sufficiently, or that you do not know with whom you are bent on fighting and killing. In fact, you all know who Hussein is, for it is you people who wrote and invited him to guide you as your imam. Now, Al-Hussein alayhi salamullah has asked me to give you respite until tomorrow morning, so that you may contemplate during the night and comprehend the result before you take any action. After that, you will be solemnly responsible for your deeds, and there will be no scope for plead, ignorance, or to find escape from the consequences of your action. Wa inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi la raji'un wa hasbuna Allah wa ni'ma al wakeel. Abu Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salamullah, in what he just said there, there is so many things which could be examined. Number one, he says you prevented water from reaching Imam Hussein's camp. Then what does he call this? He calls this an inhumane act, meaning what? We are standing for humanity. In the battle of Siffin, or the battle of Nahrawain, like we mentioned in the beginning, that when Muawiyah alayhi la'natullah blocked the water from the army of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salamullah, then Imam Ali alayhi salamullah took the river. What did some of the companions of Imam Ali alayhi salamullah say? Now they shall suffer like we suffered. What does Imam Ali say? He says, woe be to you, we will not be like them. Because water is the simplest and the essence of every human's right. Why? Why? Because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and from water we have given everything life. So water is that bare necessity, that very minimum which everybody has the right to. Walakin, on the day of Ashura, Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah's camp was forbidden from the simplest human right. So much so that Ali Asghar alayhi salamullah died without tasting a drop of water. The inhumanity, Abu Fadl al-Abbas here is telling them, you are committing the greatest and most vile crime against humanity. Then he reminds them of the Akhirah. Then he reminds them of the people that came before who did what these people are about to do. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, Allah sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And we know the state of our Mawla Sajjad alayhi salam, Allah. Every time food or water was put before him, he would weep. Why? Because he remembered the state of his father and his brother Ali Akbar and the infant Ali Asghar. Qasim alayhi salam Allah, he remembered the state of Sukaina on the 10th of Muharram. But one person comes to him and he says, why are you weeping? What does this Imam Sajjad alayhi salam Allah reply? There's so many different occasions where he was asked this question. But in one occasion he says, oh so and so, know that in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when Bani Israel were told that hunting fish on Saturday was forbidden for them as a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they hunted fish on Saturday, Allah turned them into pigs and monkeys. That's because they were hunting fish in disobedience of Allah. So what do you think is the punishment for those who killed the only son of Fatima on earth at the time? You think some fish holds more with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam Allah? La wallah. Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah, when Ali Asghar alayhi salam Allah was shaheed, what does he say? He takes the blood, he says, oh Allah, let not the camel of Salih be more respected into you than the blood of my Ali Asghar. Why? Because when the people of Thamud slaughtered Salih's camel, what happened to them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we annihilated these people because they killed a camel which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has took it as a sacrilegious thing that it belonged to him. He says, and this is the camel of Allah and this is his watering place. So do not come near it. So out of their what's the point here, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah makes reference to Salih's camel, why? Because he's saying that in the same condition that the camel was killed, my son Ali Asghar was killed, I was killed. Why did they kill the camel? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, from their arrogance. Because they were so strong, they thought, you know what, we will kill it and Allah can't do nothing. These people were so arrogant. From their arrogance, they killed Ali Asghar alayhi salam Allah. Hinda, not Hind the La'ina, not Hind the mother of Muawiyah. No, Hinda, the wife of Yazid alayhi lanatullah. Hinda was raised in the house of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Her father was a merchant. We will mention her story in more detail after Sham al-Ghariba. We're going to have another 11th majlis, and then on the 13th of Muharram, inshallah, we shall also have a majlis to speak of what happened in Kufa and Sham. And then, inshallah, we will examine this a bit more. Walakin Hinda, when she asks Zainab alayhi salamullah, why did they kill this person? Why did they kill this? When she comes to the point, why did they kill Ali Asghar alayhi salamullah? What's the response from Zainab alayhi salamullah? Is that Allah wanted to show that even these people, they did not even have a mercy towards an infant child. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show the world that when you come and you look at Karbala and you want to examine it, know that the people Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salamullah was dealing with were such people that they did not even make a difference of a 6-month-old infant. That there was not an ounce of mercy to be found in their hearts. So do not be surprised when you hear that they trampled on the chest of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salamullah. Do not be surprised when you hear that they were carrying the heads on the spears. No, they did not even leave a young infant alone. This is the people that on the 9th of Muharram, they were drinking alcohol and playing their drums. And they had their women dancing around. And they were laughing and preparing to fight Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salamullah. This is what was happening in their camp on the 9th of Muharram. Now some individuals saw this and they realized the hideous values of this camp, so they migrated to the camp of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salamullah. Whereas these people were cheering and dancing and drinking and preparing themselves to kill Abu Abdullah al-Husayn and loot the tents of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. Let me tell you, let me describe to you the tent, the camp of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salamullah on the 9th of Muharram. But before we begin, I don't want it to be disturbed, so we're going to change the tape and sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Ya Rasulullah. Ya Ali. Now brothers and sisters, I want you, for the next half an hour, I want you to leave Sakina Trust. I want you to leave London. I want you to leave all the world. Take everything out of your mind. I want you to journey with me to Karbala. In the night, in the darkness, I want you to imagine a few tents full of children and women and 72 men from the mother old and the young. And this night, I want you to imagine that you are sitting in front of Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah, and this is your final night you're going to see him, and tomorrow there is no Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. The only time you will see this holy face is when you look on top of the spears. On the 9th of Muharram, Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah, we have traditions that say he was seen leaving the camp. And when he left the camp, one of the companions, Habib ibn Mudahir, he says, I left the camp and I followed Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah from far because I feared that the enemies might surround him and fight him. So I was following him from a distance. And when I followed him from a distance, I kept on seeing him bending down to pick something up and walking. Then he picks something else up and he continues to walk and picks something up. So he turned towards me. He said, I noticed you have been following me. I said, may my parents be your sacrifice. What is it you're picking up? He said, Habib, in this desert, there are thorns. There are needles. Tomorrow the children, after the camp is burned, they will be running around bare feet. I don't want them to feel the sting of these needles. Look at Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salamullah. When he knows he will not be there, he wants to protect them before he leaves. Then when he's walking with Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah, Imam Hussein says, do you want to receive a great reward? He says, yes. He says, come pray with me. So they went down to one place. Imam Hussein picks up the turba. He kisses it. Then he does a sajda. Then he goes somewhere else, picks up some more sand, kisses it, and does a sajda. When Habib asks him after he's done, he says, why did you stop and pick up the sand and kiss it? He said, Habib, here so-and-so will die. Here so-and-so will die. Here so-and-so will die. Here Ali Akbar will die. Here Qasim alayhi salamullah will die. Here Ali Asghar will die. When he mentioned Ali Asghar, Habib alayhi salamullah said, even Ali Asghar? He said, ee wallah, even Ali Asghar. Then Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah comes back to the tents. What was the state? Tonight, every mother is with her son. Every wife is with her husband. Every daughter is with her father, bidding them farewell. It's the last night, huh? Qasim alayhi salamullah is with his mother. She hugs him. She kisses him. She smells him. Qasim, she has a conversation with him, telling him about her hopes and dreams. Dreams which now will be shattered after Karbala. Ali Akbar alayhi salamullah. Everybody is with their mother or their child, and now Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah walks past the mother. In her hand she's holding a 6-month-old child, Ali Asghar, and she's talking to Ali Asghar, telling him, inshallah, after tomorrow I should have some water to give you. Imam Hussein says, stop right there. She says, why? He says, kiss the holy neck. She says, why? He said, even
even Ali Asghar will be shaheed tomorrow. She said, even Ali Asghar? He said, even Ali Asghar. She goes, for what crime? He says, nothing. Only because he is the son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Every woman now is with the person who she will offer as a sacrifice for Fatima al-Zahra. Walakin, there's one child who is weeping. Sukayna bint al-Husayn alayhi salam Allah. Why is she weeping? Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas is going around the camp to make sure that everything, everyone is feeling some kind of ease. He's offering them the protection he can. When he comes to Sukayna alayhi salam Allah, he says, Sukayna, will you cry while your Uncle Abbas is here? She says, Uncle Abbas, I'm not crying because I'm scared. He says, so why are you crying? She says, I see my mother, she will give Ali Asghar. And another mother will give Ali Akbar. My auntie will give Qasim. Everybody is giving a sacrifice for my father, Imam Hussein. Walakin, I have no one to offer as a sacrifice. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam Allah takes her, he hugs her, he says, Sukayna, here's one hand and here's the other one, I am your sacrifice in Karbala. Here is my eye where the arrow shall fall. This is my head that will be decapitated. Weep not, my Sukayna. I will be your sacrifice. On the 9th of Muharram, what a night when Zainab alayhi salamullah. Zainab was talking to the night, huh? She says, oh night of the 9th of Muharram, delay your sunrise just a little bit. Tonight is my final night with the son of my mother Fatima. After this night, I won't see Hussein again. Spare me a few more hours and I swear I shall be grateful. Walakin, on the dawn, when the dawn came and then everybody was bidding farewell to their beloved ones as they went one by one, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah was left all alone in the plains of Karbala in that burning sun, he was about to leave. When he was about to leave, he looked around, he called to the enemy, asking to see if there's anybody left with a simple sign of humanity in them, that they should come and protect the daughters of Rasulullah. When he was calling, Ala min nasirin yansuruna, Ala min dhabun yadhibu an banati Rasulullah, is there no one to defend the daughters of Rasulullah? When nobody responded, the cradle of Ali Asghar began to shake, and then Ali Asghar fell. As if he was calling out to his father, Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah, saying, I will be the one who will aid your father. Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah, Sukayna brings her brother Ali Asghar. She says, father, before you leave, ask them if they will at least give water to my darling Asghar. Imam Hussein alayhi salamullah picks up Ali Asghar, goes towards the camp of the enemy. Now when he went, you can imagine how hot the sun was. He had like a chadar, like a parda, covering Ali Asghar from the heat of the sun. When he walked towards the enemy, they said, what is that he has covered in a cloth? Is it the Quran that he's bringing so he holds it as a witness against us? Walakin, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah came, they saw that he was holding what they called in their description, the enemies describe. They say he looked like a bird. He looked like an angel. He was such an innocent child. Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah said, if you kill us because you believe we have committed a crime, then what is the crime of this infant child that he should die thirsty? I ask you by Allah to give him some water. So they began to cry. Some of them said, give him water. Some of them said, don't give him water. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah saw the state of confusion. He said, if you think I will take the water, I will put him on the floor. He put Ali Asghar on the heat of Karbala, that Ali Asghar was waving his hands to his father as if to say, Father Hussein, the land is too hot, pick me up. They still didn't give him water. So he picked up the child, Umar bin Saad dad عليه لعنة الله turns to Harmala. He says, Harmala, break his father's heart. He says, what should I do? He said, kill the child. Now Harmala عليه لعنة الله pulled out an arrow, not with one spear, not with two spears, but with three heads, an arrow which was used to hunt lions and tigers and wild animals. To kill who? To kill a six-month-old child. Harmala says, I pulled my arrow. I waited for a chance. When the wind blew, it moved the cloth. I saw the neck of Ali Asghar. I shot my arrow. I hit him in the neck. Ali Asghar began to wave his hands as if it was an injured bird. Imam Hussein alayhi salam Allah takes the blood. Ya Allah, let not the camel of Salih be more holy to you than the blood of my Ali Asghar. He throws the blood to the heavens. Not one drop returned to the earth. Because if it did, then that would have been Qiyamah. Imam Hussein now has to return this child to his mother. Walakin, when he returned, 7 times, he walked up and down saying, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi la raji'un. How can he bring this child to his mother in this state? When he came, Sukaina came running forward. She said, Father Hussein, did you quench the thirst of my brother Ali Asghar? He says, yes, they quenched his thirst with his own blood. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi la raji'u. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون.
ماتم حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين.
والی آئی بازاروں میں زینب پردہ دنیا
سے
آئی بازاروں میں زینب پردہ دنیا
جواب
گھر سے باہر بھی نہ آنے والی گھر سے باہر بھی نہ آنے والی آئی بازاروں میں زینب والی آئی بازاروں میں زینب پردہ دنیا
والی آئی بازاروں میں
جس نے بابا سے چرائے تھے کئی بار اسیر جس نے بابا سے چرائے تھے کئی بار اسیر قیدی آزاد کرانے والی قیدی آزاد کرانے والی آئی بازاروں میں زینب پردہ دنیا جلتے خیموں سے اٹھا لائی عباس کے بعد جلتے خیموں سے اٹھا لائی عباس کے بعد علی عابد کو بچانے والی علی عابد کو بچانے والی آئی بازاروں میں پردہ دنیا کو سکھانے اپنے سینے پہ سکینہ کو زندانوں میں اپنے سینے پہ سکینہ کو زندانوں میں باد بھائی کے سلانے والی باد بھائی کے سلانے والی چلی آئی بازاروں میں زینب پردہ دنیا والی آئی بازاروں میں زینب پردہ دنیا ننگے سر پڑتی رہی خطبے بازاروں میں ننگے سر پڑتی رہی خطبے بازاروں میں کسر دشمن کو ہلانے والی کسر دشمن کو ہلانے والی آئی بازاروں میں زینب
یا حسین